Hare Krishna. So I thank His Grace Radhishyam Prabhu for kindly inviting me for today's program here this evening. And I also thank all of you, the assembled audience, for gathering here in large numbers to hear on this very important subject, Three Secrets of Transformation. So normally, whenever we hear the word secret, we get attracted. And secret is not something which is spoken so openly. So we have a whole amplified sound system, and we have a whole gathering of more than 300-400 boys and devotees, and we are discussing this secret. So therefore, this secret has been revealed long time back in the scriptures, in the shastras, and it has been glorified by the saints and sages since time immemorial. And the only thing is that people find it difficult to apply it in their lives, and therefore it becomes extremely difficult for people to apply it. For example, every smoker sees on the packet of cigarette, cigarette smoking is injurious to health. So that is not a secret. And a smoker is coughing and goes to the doctor and tells the doctor that I'm having too much of cough, please do something about it. And the doctor says, shall I tell you a secret? And the cigarette smoker says, what? Stop smoking. And you know what? Another secret? It is injurious to your health. Now this is not a big secret, it is already known. But it becomes extremely difficult for someone who is addicted to this habit of smoking to actually give it up in his own life. So therefore today we will discuss three principles, three concepts which are practically very easily known, well known, but still when we understand it from a certain perspective, it makes a lot of sense. So three secrets of transformation. So transformation means change, and when we are participating in the Hare Krishna movement, then all of us have come here for some change. And many times people are afraid of the Hare Krishna movement because of that. Many times parents of boys are afraid when they find out their sons are going to Hare Krishna temple. I don't know how many of you have had that experience, but many times it has happened that when the sons start going to the temple, they say that, which temple are you going to? Well, a Hare Krishna temple. And they say, dangerous. And many times I've met people who tell their sons tell the father, I'm smoking cigarette. And the father says, okay, make sure you smoke filter cigarette. I drink liquor, make sure you don't drink desi. I'm going to Hare Krishna, never. That is very dangerous. That is extremely dangerous. And many times when we speak of transformation, people say that, okay, I hope you're not telling them how they should be transformed like you. That is an extreme state of transformation. So people want their children to go to the temple, do some puja, follow some rules and regulations, but not too much, just a little bit. So in India, the concept of religion is just like after you have cooked a nice meal, then at the end of the meal, you add some dhaniya on top, you know. And then before eating, you add a little bit of lemon juice to add to the flavor. So that's not the main part of the meal, that's simply to add flavor. Like that, people want religion that the main meal should be of sense gratification. and on top, just to give a special flavor, little bit of dharma. Make sure you do your daily puja. Squeeze a little bit of puja on top. Make sure you add a little bit of certain principles so that everything appears pious, you know, and then have your meal. It is delicious. Then sense gratification also becomes little legal. Therefore, all of these morning television programs are very popular, and you'll find so many channels showing so many religious programs in the morning on the TV for so many years. And one of the main reasons is that most of the Hindus and the Indians want to see and hear something dharmic in the morning before they begin their main business. They want to get their inspiration for that. And you won't believe it, this Atma serial, which started in 2001, we thought it's going to be there for a few weeks, for 1 year. It went on to 2002, 2003, 2004, and 2008. They finished 8 years of showing non-stop the same serial, the same episodes repeatedly again and again. Every year they are simply repeating the same thing. And the Kali Yuga memory is so glorious that people are thinking it is new every year. Every year people come up to me and say, this year the serial is very good. This year what you spoke on Patram Pushpam Bhulam Toyam was something I didn't hear before. And so now after 8 years, the sponsors, they came up to Star Plus and said, hey, we have been showing this for now for 8 years, and we have been advertising our products for 8 years. We don't know whether public is watching or not. Are you sure they're watching? So they said, okay, let's stop it for a couple of weeks and check the response. So they have stopped this program last 2 weeks, and they want the public to give in their feedback. And they want to check it out before they convince the sponsors that yes, it's still going on, the market is still up. So therefore, there is a big market for religious Hindu programs. People want to see that. And in fact, my parents had never told any of my other family members that this fellow has joined the Hare Krishna. And many of the other relatives and friends used to ask, where is he? He's in Bombay. What does he do? Ah, he's in Bombay. But what is he doing? Well, he's doing something in Bombay. What is he doing? He's doing something special. But they didn't tell. So one of my cousins was watching this program in the morning. He was getting his early morning dose of dharma. You know? And he had his tikka on and everything. And he sat down, okay, let me watch something. So he was trying to scan for some Tamil lecture in the morning. He bumped into the Atma serial. And suddenly he saw my face and he said, ooh, I recognize this fellow. He immediately called up my family and said, is he the same person? Yeah, he's the same. He looks different. There is something missing on top. Well, he's the same person, but he has joined some other movement. He said, well, in South, we don't have people who are, you know, in this kind of dress and in this kind of tilak and everything. What kind of organization he's in? Well, he's in ISKCON. He's in Hare Krishna. Oh, that's fine. Then my mother called me up and said, you want to do your bhakti, do it inside the temple. Don't come in front of the whole world. You are putting us in trouble. So of course now, after many years, they visited various temples of ISKCON. They went to Mayapur, and visit to Sridham Mayapur was a transforming experience for them. And we have Sankarshan Itai Prabhu, who is general manager from ISKCON Chandrodai Mayapur, who has come here. And all the devotees took very good care. The first temple they stayed overnight was ISKCON Calcutta. Because previously they would come to Bombay and they would say, temple is not a place to stay. Temple is a place where you do worship and go. But then now they are so happy, they are chanting 16 rounds and they are practicing devotional service seriously. And they tell me that this is the best thing you could have done in life. Because I am not telling you the same thing. But the point is that it takes time before different kinds of people realize the importance of what is happening. So therefore we have His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, who right in his very first year of M.Tech, if you know, or many of you may not know, there was a professor who had come from America, from Florida State University, and he was so impressed with his academic profile, he wanted to sign him up immediately for his project in PhD in Florida State University after his M.Tech. And he had even signed him up for that and ready to give all the money and everything. And his guide had agreed for that. And after his M.Tech, he was all set to go there. But then he met devotees in that period during M.Tech. And then his life transformed. And his life transformed, and he went to the guide and said, "Sir, I am not going to America." He said, "Then which country are you going?" "Well, India. I'm going to stay here." "Well, what's the problem with you?" He said, "No, no problem. I realized I was in problem before. So now I'm going to try to solve others' problems." And he couldn't understand what was happening, and he tried to delay giving him the M.Tech by a few months. And in fact, that was also in one sense Krishna's arrangement, because during that period, it gave us opportunity to come closer to each other during his stay in IIT. And then because he took this decision to dedicate his life for practicing Krishna consciousness and giving Krishna to others and so many youth, because of that one sacrifice, hundreds and thousands of youth all over Pune and all over India, and now very soon all over the world, are going to get benefited because of that. So therefore, there is a transformation which happens in a person's life, and then he shares that secret of transformation with others. And when he shares that secret with others, others also get transformed. And therefore we find that this is a very, very important activity which is happening here in ISKCON Pune, and they are sharing this secret with so many others from all over India, and preachers and devotees from all over India have arrived here to get that training so that they can share this knowledge with hundreds and thousands of misguided and frustrated and depressed youth all over India. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he is describing the first secret of transformation. Airupe achandale kirtana sanchare nam prema malaganti porila sansare. And the first secret is the holy name, Harinam. So the mind, the body is like a computer. Now according to time, place and circumstances, to explain a difficult subject matter, examples have to be given, analogies have to be given. Because sometimes when we give analogies, people come and ask, where in Bhagavad Gita this computer example is mentioned? Where in Srimad Bhagavatam this is mentioned? So in order to explain these principles, sometimes examples are relevant. So if you consider the body to be like a computer, then the mind is like a hard disk. Right? So, the mind is right now virus infected. And all of you who are dealing with computers know how frustrating it is when the hard disk becomes infected by the virus. How many of you have experience? Just see. Kali Yuga is progressing fast. The viruses are spreading fast. So then, when this happens, what do? You have to install an antivirus software. That's quite normal. So the antivirus software is installed under the guidance of a proper manual. And then depending on the kind of software you install, that particular virus is taken care of. So the same analogy is applied to our own system. That if the body is like a computer and mind is like the hard disk, then the viruses of lust, greed, pride, envy, anger and illusion are affecting it. There is practically no one who is spared from the attack of these viruses. Is there anyone in this audience? Oh wow, we have a special guest today. So, is there anyone in this audience who feels that he's not affected or not influenced by these six? Lust, greed, pride, envy, anger, illusion. So all of us are affected and infected by these. And the result is we experience great amount of pain and frustration. So therefore, the mind is corrupted, the hard disk is corrupted by these viruses, and the Harinam, holy name, is the antivirus software. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has specifically recommended for this age of Kali Yuga the Harinam Sankirtan as recommended in the Shastras, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this Mahamantra is the recommended antivirus software which we have to install. And you need a manual to install it because you cannot randomly do what you want. And therefore, that antivirus software installation manual is the Bhagavad Gita. So the Bhagavad Gita is extremely relevant because in the Gita it is described what one must do to make the system virus free. So therefore Gita is an extremely practical and relevant book and not something irrelevant. And people think that Gita was spoken to Arjuna on a battlefield. We don't see any battlefields nowadays. It was spoken to someone on a chariot. We don't ride in chariots. How many of you are aiming that with my first salary I will buy a chariot, or when I make enough money I will buy a chariot, right? When you go to your relatives don't ask how many chariots you have. So it's not relevant in this age. So you may think, how is it relevant to me in my life? Times have changed, externals have changed, but the principles have remained same. People were suffering then, people are still suffering. The mind used to be infected before, it is still infected. And therefore Bhagavad Gita helps you understand your entire system of the body, mind, intelligence, ego and the soul. How is it all connected? Understand your computer and specifically understand what is affecting the hard disk. How it is affecting and how you can root out the virus. As simple as that. People say, I'm not interested in religion. We are not teaching religion. We are teaching software technology. Right? So people say, I want to hear something which is relevant. Is software technology relevant or not? It is extremely relevant. And therefore Bhagavad Gita is simply dealing with this. So my dear friends, please understand that the solution which is recommended is extremely powerful. And that begins with the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Airupe Achandale Kirtana Sanchare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the holy name and spread it everywhere. Nama Prema Mala Gandhi. He took the holy name and weaved it around the string of love. He took the flowers of love and weaved it around the string of the holy name And then he offered this to the whole world. And therefore he has given us this opportunity to participate in this chanting and create a transformation in our own heart. So how this holy name acts as a powerful antivirus tool? Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasavigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinnam Nama Namino. So this holy name is extremely powerful because it is completely spiritual. And it creates transformation by cleansing the various impurities from within. And this is a detailed subject matter which is beyond the scope of discussion of our presentation today. Today we are simply touching upon the basics of what is the secret. And the mechanism of how this actually happens is a detail which those who are interested can get connected with the IYS activities here and understand the principles thoroughly. So what happens when we start chanting the holy name? Purification takes place and transformation happens. And we have many, many instances of this. In my own case, I can say that when I was studying in IIT, I was staying in the hostel. And then I had one room partner who was staying in the next room. And he was an extremely religious person. And he had a lot of religious inclinations right from his very first year. And practically everyone in the hostel knew him to be something different. In fact, when he would be ragged by students, he would be asked question that when you look at a beautiful girl, what do you see? And he would say, skeleton. And people would be afraid of him. And later he was given the name Bhatakti Atma. That stay away from him. If you go close to him, he will transform you also. Anyway, he used to stay in my next room, and it was a standard practice to go to different religious organizations every month and check it out. So he was shopping on a regular basis. He would check out one person, then he would go to another place, then he would go another place. And he was trying out different techniques to find out what exactly is the mystery of the Gita. But he could not figure it out. And every month I would ask him, so which is the latest place you are going now? And he would tell me, you know, that I am going to this Ananda, then I am going to this Ananda. And so many different Anandas he was going. I was not impressed because my name was also Ananda. So I said, okay, when you come to the final conclusion, tell me. And then one day suddenly, in the morning, I started hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He was chanting Hare Krishna from his room. And that was a time when I was in deep sleep. Because at that point, in IIT, many times your schedule and everything changes. If you're not with Hare Krishna devotees, then many times one of the standard practices they do in IIT Bombay is have breakfast at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, then go to sleep. And then get up. You know, and then go straight to lecture and do whatever is happening. And in fact, many of the students in my hostel, they would not even take daily bath. Taking bath was like considered a weekly activity. And after taking a bath once a week, many people would come into the mess hall with a big smile on the face. And we would ask them, "Bahut khush lag raha, kya baat hai?" Well, "Haan, snan kiya." It was like a major festival or something. And one of my friends, who was from my hometown, he didn't take a bath for 4 months, whole semester. And I said, "Why?" He said, "I want to conserve water." So you can imagine what kind of association we are in these kind of hostels. And when this chanting started, it was like a piercing sound at the time when you are deep into sleep and you don't want any disturbance. So it was like a big disturbance, and I told him, "Chant slowly, don't be so loud." So he would again start, you know, slowly, and then again, the nature of chanting is it becomes loud after some time. Again I would say, hey, calm down, relax. Krishna is everywhere, he can hear you. The problem is I am also hearing you. And I don't want to hear you. Go slow. So he tried. But no matter what he tried, he was always chanting loudly. And then after 1 year, I asked him, you are still chanting the same mantra after 1 year? You didn't go somewhere else? He said, no, finally I found the last stop. This is it. I have understood what the Gita contains. I have understood that I have to get transformed and the mind is like the hard disk. And then I have to get some cure for this, and this is the best cure. And then when he said that, then some of my other friends also took this seriously and decided to check the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then gradually, by the chanting, things started transforming. So lectures would be at 8:30, so I would get up at 8 o'clock or 7:45 or something like that. Then after beginning to chant, I started getting up at 7:30. And my wingmate started saying, Sadhu ban rahe tu to. You're getting up so early? What happened? And then I started getting up at 7 o'clock. And I started getting up at 6:30. And they said, something is really wrong with you. You have never hit the 6th series ever. And then it became 5:30 and then 5 o'clock. And then when it happened 4:30, they really came with a thermometer to check what's wrong. So because most people, they take a vow in IIT that we'll never see the sunrise. Sunrise is never to be seen. That's a sacred vow there. So how is it possible? Simply by the chanting of the holy name, gradually you become freed from the influence of the modes of passion, modes of ignorance, and mode of goodness arises. And then all the difficulties which one may have in controlling one's mind and one's senses becomes easily achievable. So therefore, all of you must know that it is not that overnight a person goes through transformation. You will hardly find any doctor who can give you a medicine that you have intense disease and you pop a pill and suddenly the temperature goes down. You won't find any orthopedic surgeon who can guarantee you that you go with a fracture and then he touches his hand and puts a plaster and he removes it and you are starting jumping. That's not possible. Everything takes some time. So therefore, this is the first principle, and it begins by the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Krishna consciousness is like honey. Wherever it pours, it spreads. Similarly, the influence of the holy name is also like that. It flows like honey. You begin and gradually it flows and covers your consciousness and removes all the bitterness and makes it sweet. Very, very powerful. And in fact, not only here in India, but also in so many parts of the world, people have experienced the power of the chanting of Hare Krishna. For example, in Russia, during the time of the KGB, the Hare Krishnas were a dreaded religion. And the KGB did not allow anyone to practice. But because the Hare Krishna was banned in USSR, people were more eager that why is the KGB taking it so seriously? There must be something special in this. So one of the ways to make something popular is to ban it. When you ban something, the eagerness increases. So then one KGB officer came to one place and one person was practicing Hare Krishna there, and they came and started asking, is Mark, who's connected with the Hare Krishnas, is he here? We are looking for Mark and he's associated with the Hare Krishnas. Where is Mark? and all the neighbors, they knew Mark, but they didn't know why the KGB was inquiring, and they said, we don't know where he is. And then after some time, Mark came back, and the neighbor said, Mark, what is this Hare Krishna? What is this Hare Krishna? The KGB came and they were asking for Hare Krishna. It seems you are connected with the Hare Krishna. What is this Hare Krishna? And saying like that, they chanted Hare Krishna so many times. And they expressed eagerness to visit. So Mark, he took them to the next satsang of devotees. And when they went to this satsang, it was like in a small room. And in the small room, which could hardly hold 25-30 people, 75 people were squeezed in. And all of his neighbors also came, they also got transformed. And the KGB agent was also there. And he was there to spy, but the effect of the Harinam and the Kirtan was so much that after the program, he also took the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And he also decided to chant, and he also became devotee. So simply by the power of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one goes through transformation. Like our one of the very famous leaders in ISKCON, before becoming sannyasi, he was a grihastha. And his wife, this was in Amsterdam, she had a dog. And she had kept that dog's name after a famous philosopher, Jiddu Krishnamurti. So the dog's name was Krishnamurti. And in short, she used to call it Krishna. And one night the dog went missing. So she called the husband and said, get, fetch the dog. So he went searching for the dog in Amsterdam city in the middle of the night, and he was crying out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And there were devotees who were doing Harinam Sankirtan nearby. And one person was distributing books nearby, and he came and he saw, in the middle of the night in Amsterdam, one gentleman is shouting at the top of his voice, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he thought, my God, such an advanced soul. Even I do not have the conviction to chant alone, and is all alone in the middle of the city crying out the holy names. And Amsterdam is actually a very, very nasty city in terms of sense gratification. In fact, sense gratification is openly available. Selling drugs is legal. You can buy drugs across the counter like aspirin. Aspirin or anacin or crocin. You can buy marijuana. You can buy any of the drugs. You know, go to the pharmacy shop. Like that, they have drug shops. And drug pharmacist doesn't mean these drugs. It means real drugs. So if you go to Amsterdam, be careful. If they say druggist, it means real druggist. If you take the drugs there, you won't get up. You know, you may see Krishna's deity, but you may see him as Narayan, four-handed. So be careful if you are in Amsterdam. So when, and one of the most famous brands of marijuana they sell is called, you know what, Rudra Magic. After Lord Shiva. And one of the most popular figures in Amsterdam is Lord Shiva. They worship him as the original, you know, person who is expert at that. So they were requesting me at that time when I went to Amsterdam to give a series on Rudra Geet from Srimad Bhagavatam. Rather than advertising Bhagavatam class or Krishna discourses, you speak on Rudra Geet and we'll print Shiva's posters. That will be more attractive. People like him. Why? Because he's famous for ganja. So Amsterdam is full of people like this. And in the middle of that, somebody is shouting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So he came and he said, hey, are you looking for Krishna? He said, yes, I'm looking for Krishna. Said, we know where is Krishna. You know, take me. So he's referring to one Krishna, he's referring to another Krishna. So he went and he said, I'm not looking for him, I'm looking for my dog. I said, anyway, you come here, take the Gita. So he gave him the Bhagavad Gita. He was associating regularly. He got transformed. And he became, you know, one of the very powerful devotees in our movement. So you can imagine that even inadvertently you chant the holy names, the name has potency, the name has power. The Hare Krishna mantra is extremely powerful. So many times people feel that I'll follow this formula, I'll follow that formula. But actually speaking, in Kali Yuga, practically speaking, this is the only solution which works. Harer Naam, Harer Naam, Harer Naam, Eva Kevalam. Kalau Nastyeva, 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 Gatir Anyatha. Like when you go to a doctor with a cough, and the doctor says, this medicine you take. Because even for medicines, we have so many choices. Allopathy, naturopathy, homeopathy, right? And other kinds of pathies. And when nothing works, then sympathy. At the most, doctor says, just tolerate. Must be because of your past karma. Sometimes when devotees have difficulty, and the doctor tries all kinds of treatment for 5 months, 6 months, 1 year, finally, he starts resorting to law of karma. Must be some deep, complex karma you have. Not my problem, your problem only. So therefore, when we have all these choices, finally we have to take some medicine. And then for a specific disease, sometimes doctor refers, take only this medicine. Nothing else will work. Only this and nothing else. So eva kevalam means only two times. And nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyatha. Three times it is described, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else. Because in Kali Yuga we have flickering mind and we have a tendency to change things fast. Right? Mobile we keep changing every few weeks, few months. You know, model of our vehicle, model of the television set. If something doesn't change, it appears that someone is not normal in Kali Yuga. You must have something new every few weeks, every few months. There was a time when people had a stable job for 25, 30 years. It was considered glorious. And after doing 25 years of service, they would get some dinner set or HMT watch from the company side, that, oh, you have worked in SAIL, you have worked in BHEL, you have worked in this organization for so many years, all glories to you. But now, if someone is in the same company for 10 years and he goes for a new job, they'll inquire suspiciously, why were you there for 10 years? Maybe something is wrong with you. Maybe you're not ambitious, maybe you're not good for, you're not good enough. That's why you were useless. So people think that stability and something just being the same, there is something wrong in that. So the whole idea is change. Go for constant change. And the whole idea is also coming to social structure, and people want to change relationships. People cannot stay steady with one relationship. And therefore the whole concept of, you know, changing partners. And so divorce rates are increasing in America, practically more than 60% divorce rate, and it's coming quite fast in India too. You may be surprised to know that the first divorce case in India was reported in newspaper. It made news like that. But now we find that it's very common. So therefore when it comes to mantra also, you may think, okay, Prabhus, you are telling me Hare Krishna mantra today now, in the month of April. What should I chant in the month of May? Hare Krishna. Okay, what about June? Hare Krishna. Oh, something wrong here? What about July? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, is there anything else you have? Yeah, what? More Hare Krishna. And if you're not ready for it, then we have a little bit of variety. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Well, there is some change now. And then what? Hare Krishna. Nothing else. So one may think, how long is this going to go on? Well, the uniqueness of this kind of treatment is, the more you apply it, the more you go deep into it, the more you relish it. and the more you become absorbed in this. So do not think that you are entering into a life of monotony. You are entering into an unlimited ocean of nectar, and you are going to be discovering various kinds of pearls and gems at the bottom of this ocean. So you are on into a very exciting adventure. Just like there was one temple where a new person joined, and the devotees went for Harinam Sankirtan. This was in America. And in America, people have not heard much about Hare Krishna or anything. And this gentleman, he went with the devotees, and they were doing kirtan. And he liked the Hare Krishna kirtan. And suddenly, at a certain point in the kirtan, the leader of the kirtan started chanting another mantra for variety. And that mantra was Gaur Nityananda Bol. Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And we do that in our kirtan sometimes. So he said, Gaur Nityananda Bol in microphone. And then the other people who were following, they would say, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gaur Nityananda Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And now this gentleman was new in the temple, and he was American. He had never heard this Gaur Nityananda or anything. He couldn't figure out what they are saying. So according to his idea, he tried to hear very carefully. And what he heard was, where did Nityananda go? And the response he heard was, I don't know, I don't know. And he thought, my God, what kind of a game are they playing? Where did Nityananda go? I don't know, I don't know. And he's saying, is this fellow deaf or what? He's shouting at the top of his voice and he's not able to understand. So many times he's shouting, where? He's asking so many times, he's replying so many times, still they can't figure out. Must be some kind of a unique game. And then he would again, where did Nityananda go? I don't know, I don't know. So he thought, okay, must be something esoteric, but I should not express my ignorance by asking. Sometimes new people are also hesitant to ask because they feel my ignorance should not be known. I should also pose as if I know all the things, I'm into it. So then for a few weeks he was tolerating, then the curiosity got the better of him and he thought, I must ask. So he was sitting for prasad and another fellow was sitting next to him, another devotee. So he thought, let me ask him. But he chose the wrong moment during prasad, you know, you should not disturb. And this devotee was eating prasad and he said, where did Nityananda go? And this devotee was totally bewildered. What has happened to him? This new fellow suddenly is asking this question. He said, I don't know. So after several weeks and several months, he figured out that, oh, there is this Lord Nityananda, Lord Gauranga, and they are chanting the names and it's Hari Bol. And Gaur Nityananda is like when you chant both of them together. But somehow he got into the game so much, he stayed on with the devotees. And he is still a very active devotee in the American Yatra, practicing Krishna consciousness, distributing books. But he got hooked on by the Harinam, Harinam Sankirtan. So therefore, the holy name is extremely powerful, and this medicine is specifically recommended for this age. Krte yad dhyayato vishnum tretayam yato makhai dvapare paricharyayam kalautad hari kirtanat. So in different yugas, someone may say, what about yoga? What about dhyan? And nowadays yoga is very popular. And many people do yoga, and for maintaining good health it is definitely recommended. I also personally do yoga every day. But as a means to attain self-realization, as a means to actually remove the viruses from the hard disk, from the mind, is it the most effective method? It's extremely difficult. It is like a very, very old version of antivirus software. It is not the latest updated version for this age. It is not custom designed for the viruses which are there in Kali Yuga. All of you know what I'm speaking about. So when you're dealing with viruses, you have to be updated with the particular virus which is there and install that which is relevant. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. So Kriteya Dhyayato Vishnum, so all this dhyan and everything, it is extremely difficult because one of the requirements for that, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, for Dhyana Yoga is, Dhyana Yoga begins at the stage where you are able to see gold and stone equally by practicing Nishkam Karma Yoga. Aruruksur Munir Yoga Karma Karanam Yoga Arudasata Seva Shama Karanam. So there are two levels. So first you begin basics and you have to come to a stage where you see gold and stone equally. How many gentlemen are here who can see gold and stone equally? If someone throws stone at you, you'll feel offended. If someone throws gold stones at you, gold biscuits at you, it hurts you. What you will say? I am very fallen. I need to be hit more. Is not sufficient. I have committed, I am extremely sinful. Beat me. Prabhu, beat me more. Can you see both gold and stone equally? No. And then once you are on that stage, then you have to begin by going into the forest. You have to go into the forest and then start performing austerities there. So first of all, how many can go into the forest? And not that going to the forest means carrying mosquito net. You don't have yogis sitting inside mosquito net. You don't find that in any pictures. That yogi is sitting and there is mosquito net and mosquito coil also. And before he begins his dhyan, first he lights the coil and then sits there. Or you don't have yogis in the middle of the dhyan, suddenly they are hitting there, you know, killing mosquitoes also. No. It was a different age where people could tolerate all these things. We are not at that stage. Not possible. And it was not that yogi would carry whole kitchen with him. Stove, burner, kerosene, some pots, some knives, chapati making items and keep that in the corner and spend 2 hours, you know, getting vegetables and doing all that. Then after the morning prasad, then sit for dhyan. Nothing like that. You don't know where the next meal is coming from. It is just like you're constantly in a state of fasting. So it is all not possible in this age. Not at all possible. And another requirement is the ability to sit still without moving for days and months together. Now that's a tough one. Right? And just imagine if we announce that at the beginning of the program. Now, we often say switch off your mobiles and keep them in silent mode or whatever. That's the most lenient concession we can give and announcement we can make. If we say, okay, everyone sit straight with back erect and with your eyes half closed, not fully closed, because that's also dangerous. You'll go to sleep. And then you sit still, don't move, and sit erect for the next 2 hours. And anyone who moves will not get prasad. How many will attend our programs? You won't find anyone. It's not possible in this day and age. Therefore, for this day and age, everything has been given concession. Mahaprabhu is the most merciful avatar. Most merciful. Namo Mahavadanyaya. Right? So in different yugas, people have different capacities to do different things. But in this age of Kali, we have the least capacity. And the amazing thing is in previous yuga, people had idea only of Narayan. I think we request everyone to just come forward and allow other people to come in. In age, we find that just like, for example, in exams, there are different categories of students. Some students are extremely brilliant. They are like toppers. Others are, you know, average. And others are having difficulty even clearing the exam, and they keep accumulating various papers, right? In Bombay they call it KT, accumulating KT. How many KTs you got? 2 KTs, 3 KTs. And in their circuit that becomes a subject of discussion. He has 4 KTs, he has 5 KTs. In the beginning I didn't know what is KT, so I thought it is distinction. So then finally they said, no, this is not like that. It is on the other side. So when you imagine that in Kali Yuga, it is like a batch of students spiritually who are constantly failing. Totally duffer batch as far as spiritual knowledge is concerned. The most brilliant were in Satyug, and then Treta Yug, then Dwapar Yug. Kali Yuga means all the failed candidates from all different batches have been collected and put in this class. Just imagine, class consisting of everyone who has got 10%, 12%, 15%, highest is 16%. And he, amongst that, he is feeling proud. I am sweet 16. I am the highest. But it is still 16% less than the passing mark, 33%, 32%, whatever. So Kali Yuga is like that. And in this age, in the previous ages, people would chant Om Namo Narayan, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva, and maximum they would get understanding of Narayan. Only Narayan. And they could go to Vaikuntha. And here, in this age of Kali, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is specifically coming and trying to deal with this batch of all those who have failed. Whole failure batch. Nobody is interested. And he is coming and giving knowledge of Radha and Krishna, which was not available in Satyuga, not available in Treta Yuga, not available in Dwapar Yuga, to any of the distinction students. Those who could have been doing PhD, they were not given knowledge of Radha and Krishna, and those who have failed completely, and they are proud of their failure. Lord Chaitanya is coming and giving knowledge of Radha and Krishna. And because we are a failed student, we don't even know what we are getting. Just like someone is failing and is told by the professor, we are going to register you for PhD. And what about the topper? We have rejected him. Can you imagine a case in a campus, college campus, where campus interviews are conducted, and say JP Morgan or Deloitte or all of these companies come and say, we are looking for those who have failed in 4 subjects. And what about me? The topper says, you are rejected. If that becomes a trend, everyone will try for failing. But that's exactly what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing. He didn't give this. He didn't recruit people in the other yugas. He came in Kali Yuga with the most attractive package. And is giving the most attractive package to the most fallen, the most undeserving, who don't even know what's happening, and he's just given it to them. So we are like a group of people who were not interested in buying diamonds or didn't have sufficient money to buy diamonds, but someone just came and put a bunch of diamonds in our pocket and said, just take it, gift from me. And we are so foolish, because I don't want this, don't give me. You're trying to cheat me, don't brainwash me with this. Like, come on, take these diamonds. I know what this is. Definitely it must be some bomb. It will explode. I don't want it. So therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says that Prema Ratana Dhana, it is like the Prema Ratan. It is like the Ratan or the pearl. Kurapahu na bhajna mainu prema ratana dhana helaya harainu. Neglected it, and therefore I was defeated. And I neglected to keep this ratna or this pearl very carefully. So therefore, this holy name is simply giving us the highest gift. And we may not know what we are getting. So let us take this chanting of Hare Krishna seriously and practice it in our lives. Although initially we may not know. why we are chanting or what we are chanting, but it has transformation gradually. So I'm very happy that all of you are here to chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and practice it in a regular basis every day. So you begin by chanting 4 rounds. So everyone needs a dosage, right? When you go to the doctor, you don't go to the doctor to say hello. Hello doctor, how's your health? My health is all right. How's your health? That is the main question. No, I just came to find out I am coughing too much. I don't know why. And doctor says, this is the problem. I said, okay, I found out the problem. Okay, see you then. But what about medicine? No, that you take. So many times you tell people, chant Hare Krishna. They say, very good mantra. You guys keep chanting. You chant for us also. No problem. And people say, I don't have time. So you take a doctor's appointment, pay 500 rupees for the appointment, buy 1,000 rupees worth of medicine and keep it at your place. And the doctor says, did you take it? Oh, I didn't get time to take the medicine. Your system is hung and it is a virus infected. You're not able to work. And you're simply sitting and hitting on the keyboard with your fingers. The system is not moving. Nothing is happening. The computer is not processing anything because it is totally finished. Virus infected. And you're still sitting and typing. And someone says, what are you doing? I'm busy. Doing what? Working on the computer. But is the computer also working? That is not my problem. I am working. But is the computer working? Don't ask silly questions. You are my enemy. You are trying to take away my time. First check, man. The computer is not responding. I don't care. I am working. Work is worship. I have to keep working. That's all. So you will say, first check out that the computer is virus infected. So that takes so much of energy to catch people by the neck and then shake them and make them open their eyes and see the screen. And they realize, actually nothing is happening. But I thought for a long time I'm moving my fingers, so a lot of things are happening. And then why it is not happening? There is some infection. The virus has affected the hard disk. So then what you must do? Take out some time. Stop that for some time. Take the package, install it. And unless you take out that time and energy to make that change, things are not going to transform. So therefore, if someone stops working on the computer for some time and then takes time for the technician to come and help you install the antivirus software, is it a waste of time? Is he wasting his time or is he using his proper intelligence to actually do that which will be the most productive? Should he take out time or not? Yes or no? Yes. Will you take out time? Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh wow, that's good. So therefore, we request everyone to take out some time and chant at least 4 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because that is going to create some kind of impact at the very beginning. When you go to a gym, then there is some minimum weight you must lift for visits to the gym to have effect. Right? So if you tell your friends, I am going to the gym, what do you lift? There is a glass there, I lift that glass. And the next week you say, I have improved. In both my hands I lift glass. And then the third week you say, there is water also. And I lift it. When I feel tired, I pour the water on my head. My gym visits are going very good. But that's not going to create any transformation as far as your strength is concerned. If you have to gain strength, you have to lift something which you feel the exertion against, the force against. Therefore, the nature of the mind is to be flickering. And you have to push the mind against the constancy, the repetition of the Maha Mantra. And that goes against the nature of the mind, and therefore it is extremely difficult to do that. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You do it in the beginning, it's difficult. When you first try to lift weights, it's not easy. Sometimes you may see people doing push-ups, it may appear very simple. You try doing it. You can't go down. If you go down, you can't come up. Somebody else has to come and push you up. So initially, you try chanting, even one round or two rounds may appear very difficult. But you keep chanting, gradually you develop the power and the strength to do that. So therefore, this is the first principle of transformation. And that's the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And I hope all of you are convinced about this fact. So, how many of you will start chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on a regular basis will be determined by the fact that how much you are convinced by this principle. So now, we'll go to the next principle, and I spend more time on this one than others because this is the basis. 99% of spiritual advancement depends on this. Second is the principle of what is known as the spiritual knowledge. So Harinam, second is Harikatha or Krishna Katha or books like the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India, he met Ramananda Rai. And Ramananda Rai, he spoke to Mahaprabhu. Amanistarita tomar iha agaman paramadayalu tumi potita pavan. My dear Lord, you have appeared here to deliver me. You are supremely dayalu or merciful. And he uses a very interesting term to refer to the Lord, Patita Pavan. You are the deliverer of the fallen. Like that. Patita Pavan. So Mahaprabhu is referred to as Patita Pavan. So what is Patita? Vedanishta madhye ardhe ka veda mukhe mane Vedanishiddha papa kore dharma nahi vane. So what is the definition of patit or fallen? That there are certain instructions which are given in the Vedic literatures. Veda nishta madhye ardhyeka veda mukhe mane. So we have some idea of Vedic scriptures, Vedic literatures. But veda nishiddha papa kare. But we are acting against the principles of those scriptures, against the Gita, against the Bhagavatam, against those principles. So we may externally say, I am Hindu, I believe in Vedas, I believe in Gita, I believe in all these literatures, I have great feeling for them. But then in my own personal conduct and life, I am leading a life which is contrary to that. Totally against these principles. In fact, even defying those rules and regulations. So such a person is known as patita or fallen, that he has access to the Vedic literatures but is not able to practice them. Even sometimes knowing what must be done, what must not be done, still not having sufficient strength to apply it because of weakness of heart. And therefore, this is very, very critical to understand that the knowledge for this comes by hearing from the Gita and the Bhagavatam. This knowledge is revealed in the Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, if many of you have read the Bhagavad Gita, devotees of ISKCON, they distribute the Bhagavad Gita all over the world, millions of copies. And people's lives have been transformed like anything. One very interesting story that someone was asked this question. He was on the verge of death. And he was said that if you're about to die, what is your last wish? If you have only 24 hours to live, what will you do? And he said, if I have 24 hours, I'll take my credit card and go on a shopping rampage. Go on shopping whatever I always wanted to buy. Why? Because I'm going to die in 24 hours. I don't have to pay. Everything is on credit. That is the last wish. People want to accumulate and get more and more and not realize that ultimately at the time of death, the soul is not dying. It is going somewhere else. So therefore this Gita contains this knowledge. And hence, this knowledge of the Gita has to be understood. Like in Russia, our Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj was telling me this story. There was a KGB agent who got hold of a Bhagavad Gita. And he was so angry, he came to his home and right in front of his wife and son, threw the Gita down. And it fell on the table. And he told his family, this Bhagavad Gita is a deadly book. One must never touch this. And then he left. And the son had never seen his father in such an angry mood. And he became curious to find out what's there in this Gita. So he picked up the Gita. And he started reading the Gita secretly. He got affected. He got transformed and he started chanting Hare Krishna. And then he went and joined the Hare Krishna temple. And he is now the temple president in the ISKCON temple in Odessa. And his father realized and he came to him and said, why did you do that? He said, you only brought the Gita home. What could I do? But the knowledge inside is so powerful that it can transform a person by making him realize what is the goal of life. Therefore, every day spend some time to understand and study the Gita. And certain things you may not even understand, like when Prabhupada printed the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, some disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, this fifth canto is very complex. We are not able to understand. So why have you written all of these? So Prabhupada said that it is not possible to understand Krishna with your mundane mind and intelligence. And why you have written all these books? So that you can understand that he cannot be understood. That means you are dealing with someone who is totally transcendental. Sachid Ananda. And therefore, this concept of studying the Bhagavad Gita on a regular basis is very important. Devotees were distributing books in Australia, and there was this one devotee called Buddhimanta Prabhu, was so fired up, and he distributed like more than 50 Mahabig books in a matter of few hours. And there was an executive from a top firm who was sitting there. He saw this devotee and said, here is my visiting card. I am the vice president of this company and I have never seen someone do marketing like this. You have sold so many books in such a short time. Take my business card. I offer you the post of marketing head in our company. Come and join me anytime you want. And we can always negotiate the salary. I'll give you some of the best salary you can ever imagine. And this devotee, Buddhimanta Prabhu, took the Bhagavad Gita, put it in his hand and said, first you can begin by buying the Bhagavad Gita. And he wanted to attract him, so he purchased the Bhagavad Gita and he said, anyway, remember my business card, please contact me. And he went. And this devotee called him up the next week and said, you know what, we have one more set of books. It's called the Srimad Bhagavatam set. Are you interested? And this vice president wanted to recruit him in future, wanted to maintain relationships. So he said, okay, you send me that also. So he purchased the Bhagavad set. Next month he called him up and said, we have one more set called Chaitanya Charitamrita. Are you interested? And he thought, my God, this fellow is chasing me like anything. But he purchased because he felt somehow he will join. And he sold all the remaining books of Prabhupada also. And after he had sold the whole set, he called him up and said, now you have purchased all our books. Please keep coming to our temple. Thank you. Hare Krishna. And he said, my God, you are the ultimate marketing man. I tried to recruit you, but you sold the whole set of books to me only. So many times when devotees go to distribute books, people ask them, how much commission you get for selling this Bhagavad Gita? Some of our devotees were distributing Bhagavad Gitas during the December marathon in the local trains. You know? And they would enter into the trains and they would shout, Gita, 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 purchase the Gita. Gita lijiye, Gita lijiye. So all the hawkers who were selling combs, pens, you know, all other items in the local trains, they felt that this Hare Krishna is a big threat to our business. You know, so one devotee entered into the railway train once, and another hawker who was selling combs, you know, entered. Same time. And he whispered into the devotee's ear who was selling books, hey, you go that side, I will go this side. Because both our business are opposite. When they read your Gita, you know, they won't use the comb after that. So our devotees made friends with many hawkers. And after, you know, coming out of the train and sitting on the platform, sometimes hawkers would come, kitna gaya aapka? How is your business going on? You know, but they cannot understand that this is not business. It is sharing of spiritual knowledge. And that's very important. So all of you can share spiritual knowledge with your friends, with your other colleagues, and give them the understanding of Bhagavad Gita. And that's what Srila Prabhupada has done. Prabhupada said, I am practically the only Indian in so many years who went to America not with hands like this, but hands like this. Most Indians go to America hands like this. Please give us causeless mercy. Give us dollar. Give us some employment. Give us H-1B. Give us this. Give us that. But Prabhupada said, I went with my hands like this to give spiritual knowledge to one and all like that. So that's very important to understand that Bhagavad Gita is a very powerful book. And the third principle is, there's an interesting story. Prabhupada was called for a television interview in Australia. And Prabhupada was kind of postponing. Prabhupada said, how many minutes they are offering? This was like the Mike Lucy show. Very, very famous. Practically 500,000 to, you know, practically half the population of Australia would watch this. And devotee said, Prabhupada, this is a great opportunity. Prabhupada said, how much time they are offering? And they said, they are offering us full 5 minutes. Prabhupada said, I want at least half an hour. And they said, Prabhupada, we can't bargain like that. This is like the absolutely top show. 5 minutes is like tremendous preaching. Millions of people will be watching. Prabhupada said, ask them half an hour. And the devotees tried, but it was not possible. At last, Prabhupada agreed to come. And Mike Lucy was known for grilling the people like anything. And, you know, making their life miserable with his questions. He was a very famous host, interviewer. So Prabhupada came and he sat. And there was a picture of Krishna in the middle. So Mike Lucy was on one side, Prabhupada was on another side. And he thought, okay, let me now, you know, create trouble for this Swami. And he began by saying, he saw at Krishna's picture in the middle skeptically, pointed out to Krishna, and looked at Prabhupada and said, so, Swami, this is your God? This is your God? Prabhupada looked at him coolly and said, this is your God also. And he got totally bewildered. And Prabhupada said, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he said, well, in Bible it is not mentioned that there is a blue God. Prabhupada said, well, you do your research completely. Till you find out a proper answer, you can worship him. We are worshipping him after doing all conclusive research. Prabhupada was in London, and another interview, someone was asking him, so is it true that your preaching also takes place in hellish planets? Prabhupada said, well, what do you think London is? And then this interviewer flabbergasted. He said, but what do you mean? London is full of greenery. There are so many gardens, so many parks. It is so green. Prabhupada said, yes, it is green hell. And then he said, what is the purpose of your visit? Why have you come to London? I have come to teach you what you have forgotten. I have come to give to the British what they forgot to loot from India. They took the Kohinoor, they took millions and millions of pounds, they took all the gold and silver, but they forgot one thing. I have come to deliver that. What is that? Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita. Only Srila Prabhupada did that. Srila Prabhupada ki. So therefore Prabhupada one time asked a question, very kind of controversial question. He said, well, who's more powerful? He said, some of these freedom fighters or me? And the devotees are bewildered. What is the comparison? And Prabhupada said, the freedom fighters chased the Britishers out of India. I went and engaged them in my service. And one British devotee was doing chamar. And Prabhupada said, just see. And he is doing this for free. I am not even paying him. But why is he serving me, and why all of these Britishers and all these Western people are chasing me? I am an old man, I am a poor man, I don't have anything to pay, I don't have anything to give. Am I poor? No. I have access to India's Vedic tradition, the timeless Vedic knowledge, the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have here from New York City, His Grace, Ekalavya Prabhu. He's seen what Manhattan is all about. He has seen the ultimate in, you know, what sense gratification has to offer in America. He has seen it all. But why is he spending his time in India? So many Indians want to go to America, and Ekalavya Prabhu is desperate to spend time in India. Why? Because he realizes that there is something special about this country. What is special? Are the roads special? Or is the tempo or the auto or the Bajaj, Suzuki or any of these vehicles special? Is the political system special? Is the bureaucracy special? No. The spiritual knowledge. Nowhere else you have the facility for getting this understanding so clearly. So therefore, please make use of this opportunity. You may have studied engineering, technology, medicine, whatever. But when your computer breaks down, you may be a diamond merchant, you may be a millionaire, you may be a doctor, you may be a geologist, whoever you may be. But when your computer breaks down, you need to call a technician who deals with the computer. Right? Expertise in one field doesn't mean expertise in every field. So you may be extremely competent and successful in your own area, but now our system has broken down and the mind is virus infected. So please try to install this antivirus software of the Holy Name and use the reference of the Bhagavad Gita as the manual. And the last but not the least is the third aspect which creates transformation, and that is called prasadam. So the less I speak about it and more I allow you to experience, the better. It's already 8:20. So anyway, much can be said, but as I said, that practically everyone who has come into the Hare Krishna movement has very powerful experiences with prasadam. Right? How many of you like prasadam? People are coming all the way from New York to relish prasadam here in Pune. So prasadam, Prabhupada said, is like the bullets. You know, they affect you from inside and transform you. Someone told me, I am a very light eater. I said, what does it mean? As soon as it is light in the morning, I start eating. Right? So we allow everyone to be light eaters. There was a program, announced in Canada somewhere, in a college program. They said, see matter transforming into spirit. The Hare Krishnas are here. Lecture come demonstration. Matter will transform into spirit. So big crowd came of students. They wanted to see live demonstration of matter turning into spirit. What is this? So as usual, 1 hour lecture was there and people were getting little impatient. When lecture is going to end? When that demonstration will start? And one devotee came with a plate filled with, 10-15 items. People couldn't see, but they could smell that there is something nice happening. And he went right in front of everyone. There was an altar, kept on the altar, took a curtain and covered it. And then he announced, now the process is beginning. Matter is going to transform into spirit behind the curtain. Wait and watch. So everyone was waiting. And the lecture continued. And this devotee sat down with eyes closed and he was chanting all the mantras and everything. And everyone was thinking, now what's going to happen when the curtain opens? They were expecting some magic trick. Curtain opened. Plate was still there. Nothing else had changed. And it was covered now by another cloth. And the devotee came and started walking away. And he said, now after this process, matter has transformed into spirit. This has become sacred food, prasadam. One of the students said, hey, come on, that's cheating. You said you are going to demonstrate how matter is going to transform into spirit. You have to do that. And the devotee said, well, if you want, first of all, he removed that curtain from the top and showed to all the students. Everyone could see samosas, chutney, pulao, curry, paneer sabji, so many items, 15-20 items. And then he said, now I could actually explain to you how this transformed by speaking for the next 2 hours. And those who are interested can come in the next room. Others, if you don't feel like getting that explanation, can start immediately. All the others caught hold of this fellow and said, hey, we have understood, man. Hey, what is the problem? You can't understand such a simple thing. It has transformed, can't you see? Of course it has transformed. Otherwise, how it will look like this? It has totally transformed. Sir, we believe. Don't believe in him. He doesn't understand. He's a little dull-headed. Like that. Don't worry. We start. Please, immediately. So therefore, this transformation of matter into spirit is not something which can be logically explained. It has to be experienced by tasting. And then the transformation will happen from within. So very soon we will have Harinam Sankirtan, and after the Harinam Sankirtan, all of you will be exposed to Krishna Prasadam. Hundreds and thousands of stories of Prasadam we can speak about, but the main important principle is, if you get an opportunity, eat vegetarian food, and before you eat the vegetarian food, you cook it with a feeling of love and devotion for Krishna, and then offer it to Krishna. You keep a separate plate for the Lord, and you keep the ingredients in that plate, and then you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 3 times, and that is the process of offering. It's very simple, and you take out that whatever has been offered, and that becomes prasad. Very simple process, but life-changing experience. So you can go through this and see for yourself. And normally, we offer the food without onion and without garlic for a specific reason, because onion and garlic increase the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance. Depending on the kind of activity you do, you need a certain kind of diet. A gymnast's diet is different from a boxer's diet. Boxer begins the day you know, with 5 liters of milk. Before he starts speaking, he will first drink 5 liters. Then he will say, what were you saying? What is next? Whereas gymnast will be very, very careful how much he drinks, how much he eats, because he can't afford to gain weight. So like that, depending on the purpose, your diet will be specific. So if your purpose is to advance spiritually and elevate your consciousness in the modes of goodness, then for that kind of purpose, onion and garlic is not very recommended. It all depends on what is your goal, and based on that, you choose a specific diet. That's all. So most of us who have chosen to advance spiritually and elevate our consciousness have also seen that the most suitable package for that is Krishna Prasadam, which is cooked without onion and garlic and offered to Krishna. So therefore, ISKCON is primarily concerned with distribution of these three items: holy name, spiritual knowledge, and Krishna Prasadam. Krishna Naam, Krishna Katha, and Krishna Prasad. And if your life is filled with these three, then your life will also experience tremendous amount of transformation. And this is the secret which we wanted to share with you. And I'll end with a nice small poem written by Dravida Prabhu. The rebellious living entity forgets his true identity, and out of sheer stupidity surrenders to cupidity. That means lust. Arguments won't catch the truth. Rhetorics can't restore your youth. Let us make the wise decision and join Sri Krishna's mission. So thank you all very much for coming and spending your evening with all of us and allowing us to share this secret of transformation with all of you. I hope all of you made some sense of today's presentation. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.